Well, good morning. When we get folks back in here, good to see y'all here this morning, back from Thanksgiving festivities, or some. I see some deer hunters are back, and so it's that weekend, that Thanksgiving weekend. So good to be here. Good to see y'all. We had a full Thanksgiving at our house. Some little kids and some grown up kids, and busy house. Did lots of dishes and made lots of coffee. But hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. And anyway, we are continuing our series. We're fourth week in this Armor of God series. And so we are talking about the equipment, the weapons, the protection that God has ordained for us in this battle that we're in, this struggle that we're in. And we've read the same passage several times, in fact, probably every week, and this introduction to this Armor of God section. And I was reading it this week and had some thoughts I just want to share as we get started. This passage in Ephesians 6:10, this is, again, Paul writing to this group of Christians that gathered in the town of Ephesus, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And a couple of things kind of caught my attention as I read this. And one is that it's not against flesh and blood. And we've talked about that, I think, each week, but not against flesh and blood. We are all, as people, we are mind, body, and we are also spirit. And, mind, those are the thoughts we think, the things we can figure out, the things that we can understand. It's our mind. Our body is our physical body. You know, we can see it. We can touch it. We can touch each other. We can listen to each other. That's our physical, our body. And then we are also spiritual. And spiritual is that unseen part of us. We have a spirit. And that part is unseen. And I oftentimes, ones can have the thought, maybe you have this thought, well, I believe in what I can see. I believe in what I can touch. I'm a realist. I only believe in what I can stand on, what I can touch, what I can understand, what I can capture, so to speak, or what I can, get my head around. But there is a spiritual life that's unseen. There is information in the air around us. There's all kinds of information circulating around us. There is all the information that's available on the internet, which is an incredible amount of information that is in the air around us. It comes through the walls. It is everywhere, almost everywhere. I don't get cell phone reception in my office at the hospital. It's in the basement, but it's almost everywhere. This information is surrounding us, and. I don't understand how that works. I understand a little bit, radio waves, frequencies, but how does it get through the walls? How does it come through the windows? I don't know. And yet, it's there, and we could prove that. All you got to do is take out your smartphone and log on to the internet. Don't do that now. That'd be rude. This is just an illustration. But that information is around us. Can you see it? Nope. Can't see it. Do you think it's there? I know it's there. I've accessed it. I know it's there. Do you understand it completely? I don't. And I bet you don't either. Well, maybe some of you do. But it is there. And that's like the spiritual life. It's there. I believe it's there. We are all spiritual beings, and we are called to pursue a life in relationship with God. And that's what we're talking about today. This struggle that we're in is as we seek to pursue a relationship with God, we will encounter opposition. We will encounter some aspect of struggle. And that's it's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual reality. The other thing that kind of jumped out at me, kind of caught my attention, was this says, it says there, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. What are schemes? Schemes are strategies or techniques or the way of getting things done. It's oftentimes scheme you think of as kind of underhanded or kind of sneaky. But schemes are, the devil has schemes. His desire is to discourage you, to deceive you. He's a liar and the father of lies, it says. He is determined to derail you about what's true about God, what's true about you. And so we need to take a stand against those schemes. And there's a passage that I want to share. There's no PowerPoint on this, but it's in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul is talking to some folks about forgiving each other and kind of moving on and not letting this this separation between them go on. And he says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says that you should do this, you should forgive, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And so that he might not outwit us. What does it mean to be outwitted? It means to be fooled or tricked. Somebody outwitted you. They got the upper hand. And he says, don't let Satan outwit you. Don't let him outwit you. Don't let him fool you or trick you. And it says, because we are not unaware of his schemes. In other words, we know a little bit about what he intends toward us and how he goes about accomplishing his desires for us. We're not unaware. And if we are aware of our enemy's schemes, if we are aware of our enemy's strategies or their techniques, that helps us in our defense, right? And if you watch a football game, during the play, obviously the cameras are focused on the players and what's going on the field. Between plays, the camera often goes to the coach, right? And you see the coach pacing, you see the concerned look on his face and whatever. And he's got this microphone. He's talking to the folks up in the booth, or he's talking to his quarterback or whoever he's talking to. And what does he do when he's talking? He's giving instructions. Covers up his mouth like this. And why does he do that? It's because he's got bad teeth? That's not the case. It's because he doesn't want anybody reading his lips. And a few years ago, wasn't there a team that was accused of gaining advantage over their opponents by reading the coach's lips? And so if you know your opponent's strategy, if you know what they're going to do next, you can better defend against it. And that's why they cover up their mouth, so that they can't. And we are not to be unaware of the devil's schemes toward us. Because, you know, if we aren't concerned about this, if we aren't determined to pursue this life, the life that God has in store for us, that God desires for us, he has good in mind for us, if we're willing to take less, we don't need to be in the battle. We don't need to be aware of the devil's schemes because, well, frankly, if you're not pursuing God, the devil's not too concerned about you. Because he is concerned when you are pursuing and you are seeking what God has for you. And we need to be aware and we need to be on guard because we're not, at least I'm not as smart or as strong as I think I am. And we can be fooled, we can be outwitted if we're not paying attention. And so that's why we're talking about this armor, this equipment, these weapons, so to speak, that we've been provided with, and for this effort, for this struggle. And so let's not be outwitted. Let's be alert, not be outwitted or fooled, because we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this shield of faith. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the spiritual life that you have in store for us as we grow in our relationship with you, as we pursue knowing you better, as we pursue living the life that you have in mind for us. Help us, God, to learn from your word today, to look at it, and to take it seriously. Help us to see these things and put them to use in our lives. Thank you, God. Amen. So we're going to talk about the shield of faith. And I'll just tell you right now, we're going to cover the shield of faith today. I think on the schedule it said we're going to get to helmet of salvation. We're not going to get there. I learned that in first service. So we're going to talk about the shield of faith, and we'll catch up with the helmet of salvation later. But so we're going to talk about the shield of faith with which, let's just read it. It says, now we talked about putting on the belt of truth, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and we talked about the preparation of the gospel of peace on your feet. And so now it says, in addition to all this, in addition to those three pieces, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we're going to talk about kind of three things. We're going to talk about faith, the shield of faith. We're going to talk about flaming arrows. And we're going to talk about how do we wield that shield of faith. So how do we use it? How do we put it to good use? So faith is one of those words that we, you know, it's kind of a, not necessarily, I was going to say a Christian word, but that term is used in a lot of different contexts. But we're going to talk as far as biblical faith, as far as how faith is described in the Bible. Very few words, we just get a straight up definition in the Bible, but with faith we do. And I just have to go to Hebrews 11:1 is that definition. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it's the assurance, it's being sure of things that you hope for, you look forward to, and it's the conviction of things that you can't see. Again, that spiritual life, that unseen, like the information around us, it's the conviction that those things are true. Simply put, it's basically trusting in something that you can't explicitly prove. You can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt because it can't be held, it can't be packaged. And there's an element of faith. There's an element of trusting what you can't see. And there's two aspects to biblical faith. One is that intellectual assent, understanding that something's true. You know, so you can understand that, you can say, yeah, I believe that Jesus lived and I believe he died. I believe he rose again. I believe that's true. But then there's a second piece, and that is actually placing your trust or confidence in those things and actually acting on them. It's sort of like an airplane. You know, you can understand aerodynamics, and you can observe airplanes flying, and you can say, yeah, I believe airplanes fly. I believe they fly. You can, you know all about it. But putting your confidence and your trust in it, that's when you get in the airplane and take off. That's when you have faith in that airplane. Until you get in, it's just knowledge, right? But when you get in and take off and trust your well-being to that airplane, that's faith. That's the putting that trust in that knowledge you had, right? And in that chapter 11 in Hebrews is just a great chapter, and it talks about these individuals who had faith, who put faith into practice. They knew certain things believed things about God, about what God said was true, and then they took action. So it was not only the motivation, it was why they did things, but it was also the power or the ability to carry them out. A couple other thoughts about faith is one, faith is a gift from God. Oftentimes we think, well, yeah, faith is my part of the deal. I have the faith, God has the truth, I believe in it. But really, faith is to even exercise faith is a gift from God. Over and over, while Jesus was on earth and among people, people would say to him, Jesus, give me more faith. I need more faith. In fact, Jesus prayed for Peter. Peter is one of his disciples, one of his closest friends was going to be, when Jesus was arrested, Jesus predicted that Peter was going to have a run-in with Satan, his enemy. And he says, I've prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. He was praying that Peter would be given what he needed at that time. So faith is a gift. Faith is a gift from God. There can be measures of faith. You know, Jesus recognized in some folks, he saw a lot of faith. He commended them for much faith. Other folks, oftentimes his disciples, he rebuked for not having much. He'd look at his disciples and, well, where's your faith? Or you of little faith, he'd say. And so there's measures of faith. Even at different times, we exercise or demonstrate different levels of faith. Faith can be recognized by what we do. It can be evident in what others see about us. Jesus observed some men carrying a friend to him to be healed. And he remarked about their faith by what he observed, by what he saw. So faith can be evident in what we do, in what we say. And faith can grow. It can be cultivated. It can, as we step out and trust, and as we see that God's faithful, we can grow in faith and be more and more willing to step out. So faith is believing things, certain things about to be true. We assent to facts, but also putting our trust and confidence in that truth and then making decisions and choices based on that faith. This is an essential element in our relationship with God. He says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. We can't please God without faith. We have to exercise faith because God is connected. We are connected spiritually. Again, it's not a question of flesh and blood, but spiritual. And so it's essential that we exercise this faith. So that's kind of some thoughts about faith. So this shield of faith, that's what we're going to talk about picking up. But so that next piece is with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Flaming arrows. That's interesting. Flaming arrows. I've never had a flaming arrow shot at me. But what I thought as I read this, because oftentimes we think that in this battle we're prepared for these random attacks. But if you're in danger by flaming arrows, that's because you're a target. They're aimed at you. They're not random projectiles, okay? In this context, he's talking about a soldier with a shield and extinguishing flaming arrows. That's because they're aimed at him. They're not just happen to come flying by. It's not like, well, I have this shield in case a meteorite comes my way. These are pointed at him. Pointed at the holder of the shield, these flaming arrows. And they can be, we'll talk a little more further on, but they can be thoughts, they can be temptations, they can be attitudes that come in that we need to address, we need to deal with as they come. And they are aimed at you. They are not random. This was sobering to me as I thought about this. It's sobering to think that we have a spiritual enemy who's out to get us. We're in his sights. We aren't just, well, in case I walk in front of something. No, he's looking for us. We are not unaware of his schemes. He knows our weak spots. If you know where your enemy is hiding, you will be on your guard when you come into that area. So we know our weak spots. We know things that when we're prone to certain attitudes or certain giving into certain temptations, Satan knows that too. He knows that. So we need to recognize the danger zones when we're in a place that we're vulnerable and have our shield up and have our shield ready, because we'll take advantage. So we need to avoid the ambush. If we knew the ambush was coming, we do not want to be unaware of the devil's schemes. So what are those arrows? What are those flaming arrows? I don't have, you know, obviously physical flaming arrows shot at me, but what are these flaming arrows that faith can extinguish? Let's name them. Name them. There are a lot of lists in the New Testament, lists of things that we should pursue, things that we should avoid. There's lots of lists, and there's one here that I want to share with you. It's in 2 Timothy. Here it is. And this is a list. Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy, and he's talking about there will be terrible times later on, towards the end of history. He said there's going to be terrible times. And then he goes into this long list. And I want to read the whole list. I want you to listen to this, because some of these things are a big deal. And some we might think, well, it doesn't seem like it, but this is terrible. This is describing terrible times. Listen. He said, mark this. So pay attention here, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's a list. Some of those things we can hear, oh, proud. So I'm proud. Maybe I have a little pride in me. Is that a big deal? But then there's brutal. Oh, nobody wants to be described as brutal. Not lovers of the good. Disobedient to parents. But abusive. I don't want to be abusive. So there's a real variety of things, but these are all listed as the description of terrible times. And so those arrows, those arrows are anytime, I believe, when there's a temptation, there's a thought that comes to us that moves us towards this kind of behavior, this kind of thinking. It's unbelief. Satan wants us to not believe what God has said is true. It's doubts. Wants us to doubt if we're going through difficulty that, well, God doesn't care. Satan would love for us to think that. Letting Satan have his way in relationships. It's another arrow, whether it be gossip that comes in and separates friends and family, or unforgiveness, or bitterness, jealousy, anger that's unresolved. Those are the things that come to us, come at us, the temptation to harbor hard feelings. God doesn't want that. Satan does. And those are the arrows that are coming at us. Dishonesty. Cheating. Taking advantage of others for your own benefit. That's the temptation to do that is one of those arrows. Sexual immorality is one of those arrows. The temptation to violate God's standards and what he's established as good, and what the world has made so messed up, where abuse and all the things that have come about by the twisting of what God had intended for us in the sexual realm. Greed, wanting more than my share and being willing to sacrifice your good for my good. You know, I want more. And if that means you get a lot less, well, I win. That's greed. And that's, God hates that. God hates that. That's on the list. It's greed. And sometimes we think, well, greed is just looking out for me. Well, that's greed. Let's call it what it is. And so those are some of the, just some ideas about those arrows that they come our way. And it says here that with faith you can extinguish them. And I understand, doing some reading about this, I understand that these Roman soldiers had these big shields, and they were either covered with fabric or leather, and they were wooden. And so they would soak them in water before a battle so that if the enemy shot flaming arrows at them, they would be extinguished. They wouldn't set their shield on fire, because if your shield's on fire, then that's not going to work out very well. And I thought about that. I thought, well, you could just pull the arrow out. But going on the other side of your shield to pull the arrow out would be a little questionable, not very wise. So we have a choice when these inputs come, when these thoughts come, when these temptations come, these discouraging ideas come, we have a decision or a choice to make. We can extinguish them. By faith, we can extinguish them or not. We can leave them. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, thoughts come in, attitudes come in, temptations come in, and we think, well, it's not that big a deal. And we let it smolder. You know, oh, it doesn't look like I can handle this. It'll go out soon. Or if it gets too far, then I'll put it out. Then I'll deal with it. Or sometimes we even fan it into flame. You know, you have a thought, and instead of extinguishing it, you kind of entertain it. You add to it, like an ember in a campfire. Blow on a little bit, fan it, take your hand off, fan it, get it stirred up a little bit. We are prone many times to entertain those thoughts and think that we're in control and think we can maintain it. But fire is a destructive force. Fire is, once it gets going, if it gets ahead of you, it's hard to put out. It's hard to put out. And it says in James, it talks about the tongue being a fire, and it sets your life on fire, it says. And that's not on fire in a good way. Oh, man, he's really on fire. But in fire, like in a destructive way. And that's what we're trying to avoid, that destructive fire. You know, it says also that this shield of faith can extinguish all the flaming arrows, not just some, but all the flaming arrows. And I want to really believe that anything that comes my way, that by faith, if I believe what God has said and put my confidence in what he's said and who he is, who I am, that we can extinguish those flaming arrows, all of them, not just some, but all. Satan's intention, you know, his intention for us, for one who's not come to know Christ's forgiveness, Satan's intention is for them not to and to have their soul. For those who have come to Christ and accepted his forgiveness, God's already got our soul. Satan can't get it, but he wants your life. He wants to destroy what your earthly life, make you ineffective, derail you here. Okay, so that's flaming arrows. So it's those things that come in. It's those attitudes that come along. And it's those temptations that present themselves. And I heard someone say once, you know, because we have inputs all the time. We have thoughts coming through our minds all the time. And I've heard someone say once, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking extinguishing those thoughts, getting rid of them, putting them out before they cause the damage that they can. So let's talk about this shield of faith. And so how do we pick it up? So if you're a soldier in a battle, without a shield, you're just a target, right? Without a shield, you are vulnerable. Your enemy has a free shot at you. You may have your breastplate on and your helmet, your other things, but your shield is something stronger even. And without a shield, you are vulnerable. And if your shield is laying on the ground and you don't pick it up, it will do you no good. It'll do you no good on the ground. And as I thought about Shield, my most graphic experience with Shields is when I was a kid having a snowball fight, right? A shield is helpful. And when I was a kid, garbage cans weren't plastic. They were metal, and they were round, and they had a handle right in the middle. Many of you remember those things? They make a perfect shield. They're about that big, and they'll stop a snowball. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't pick it up. We need to wield the shield, need to pick it up. So how do we use this shield? How do we extinguish, like it says, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one? And we oftentimes think, I'm on my own. I will use my own resources. I will figure this out. I will be more diligent, or I will pretend those thoughts aren't coming to me. I will take a positive thinking class. There's all kinds of things that we try to depend on when destructive or difficult thoughts or attitudes come along. But if we seek to extinguish these things or deal with them only on our own, with our own resources, we won't experience life as God would desire us to. We won't experience all that He has for us. We must be willing to trust and believe that what He says is true and act on it, make our decisions and our choices based on what's true. We need to expose those temptations, expose those attitudes to God's truth. We need to expose them to God's truth in order to extinguish them. A couple examples. You think about, let's say someone offends you. They do something that careless, thoughtless, cruel, mean, you know, say things to you that are unkind. And rather than talking to God about it, rather than talking to, you know, going to try to resolve it with them, you think, man, and you start to fan that into flame a little bit. You think, man, oh man, they had no right to do that, you know. And you happen to run into somebody else, and you happen to mention what that person did or said, and you get just the response you want. Yeah, you know, they've said that kind of stuff to me too. And now you're fanning into flame a little more. And you know, it's subtle, but that is a temptation to harbor those things, to hold on to them, rather than go to God's word and say, okay, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? I go to that person. I resolve it. If they won't listen to me, I get somebody else and we go talk and we try to resolve that. And if nothing else, I forgive them. Let it go. That's what God's word says. That's extinguishing those arrows. Another example, tax time is coming before too long. It'll be the end of the year, and we'll be time to start thinking about doing our taxes. And, you know, I can think, gosh, I don't agree with everything the government's doing with my money. I really don't always, and I just soon send them as little as possible and keep as much as possible for me, right? Isn't that the goal of taxes? I mean, and if I get down on that tax form, if I kind of fudge the numbers a little bit, I can send them less. That's cheating. That's a dishonest scale. And if we go to God's word, there's a verse in Proverbs I always remind myself of when I'm doing taxes. And it's better to be a poor man than a liar. And that's true. It's better to be poor than to lie and to cheat. And, you know, I wish it was another way, but it's not. That's what God says. It's good to be honest. It's good to be honest. So I can extinguish that temptation. I thought, similar situation. I was buying a used car a number of years ago. And, you know, when you buy a used car, you write on the, I think it's on the title, you write how much the purchase price was so that when you go and register it, that's when you pay tax on that purchase. And I was buying a car from a guy, and we were filling out the paperwork. He said, what do you want me to write down on the price you paid? And I thought, it kind of caught me off guard. I thought, well, write down the price I paid you, right? He said, well, this is what you pay taxes on. There's a little chance there to put a little few dollars in my pocket. That's dishonest. It's dishonest. And that's what we can extinguish that arrow by applying what's true, believing it, and making choices and decisions based on it. That's faith. Remember, it's assenting. You can say, oh, yeah, it's good to be honest. You can assent to that fact. Oh, it's good to be honest. But faith is when you say, it's good to be honest, and I'm going to make a choice that's honest. That's when it really, then it's, you're really putting it into practice, right? Another example of temptation. Temptation comes into your mind to have thoughts about a person other than your spouse, of an intimate nature. It's a place, and in thoughts that's taking you somewhere you shouldn't go. Are you going to entertain them, fan them into flame? Or are you going to extinguish them, say no? It's good to be faithful. It's good to be pure sexually and not go off on a tangent there. So we have the opportunity to extinguish these things that come in, all these inputs that come in. We have an opportunity to extinguish it with truth, with what God has said is true and what God has said is good, if we will, again, believe it's true and then make those decisions and choices based on that. That's how we expose those inputs to truth and use the shield. The other way we use the shield is together. This is a picture of Roman soldiers using their shields as a group, and they called this a testudo, and that basically is a term that means tortoise. You can see, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to name that one. But it is using their shield. You know, when you use a shield alone, you could cover one direction, right? But here these soldiers are using it to protect the group from all sides and above. They are coordinated. They are shoulder to shoulder, holding up their shields, protecting themselves and each other together. They are better together than they are alone in this case, right? And we can do that. I can be encouraged by others' faith. I see someone speaking words of faith or taking steps of faith based on they see what God's word says, they believe it, and then they act on it. I see that. I'm encouraged. I need to see that. I need that. It's not good to try to do this alone, to go alone. We can encourage each other by our faith. We can take God at his word together. God didn't intend us to be alone. He intended us to live and exercise faith in community, in this community of believers that is the church. So using the shield is taking God at his word, believing what he said is true, and then trusting it and making decisions based on it. Because that is the way we'll extinguish those flaming arrows that would keep us from having the life that God intends, that, and to keep Satan from setting our life on fire in a destructive manner, in a destructive way. We don't want to be, he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. And God has good for us if we will extinguish those flaming arrows by faith. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word again. Thank you for this, these folks here. I pray for each one that they would know that you have good plans for them and have provided for each of us to extinguish these flaming arrows and to live for you. Help us to know what your word says. Help us to believe what's true about you, what's true about us, what's true about our enemy. We don't want to be unaware. We don't want to be fooled. And so God, help us. We need you, but we thank you that you are faithful and you will provide. Amen.